You're listening to The Sound Atlas by Russell Brooks.
Should I? I'm going to introduce myself. It's sure. J.D. Miner, native to Bowling Green, here with Mr. Russell Brooks.
Yes.
And the question I have for you is, what is your favorite song of mine?
Just kidding. My favorite song of yours is Radio.
I like that.
Well, how's it, how, that's not the name of it. What is it?
Apocalypse Radio.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't expect you to answer it.
Well, that is mine, though.
What's your name and where were you born, sir?
My name is Russell Brooks. I was, I guess I was born at the medical center. I grew up in Butler County.
All right. Where's Butler County? Because I don't know where that is.
Butler County is about 20 minutes away from here towards Grayson County. I actually lived on what people would refer to as the north side of Butler County, more towards Caneyville.
What would be the difference between the north and the south side of Butler County? Any the gang south, violence?
A lot of gang violence on the south side. No, the south side has, I think the south side, well, that's where the schools are. That's where all the, however many restaurants are. I think that's where all three stoplights are. The north side is kind of the country side of the river. It's just a bridge that divides it.
Interesting. All right. Well, I was going to ask you something at the end of the of our interview, but due to the nature of the question, I took a poll on the internet. What's Ask Russell Brooks? And the question that kept coming up was Ask Russell about schools. So what schools have you attended?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I went to 5th District Elementary. And then I went to Butler County Middle School, Butler County High School. I attended Western Kentucky University for a short while. And then I went to the tech school for a while.
Awesome. People want to know what
they want to know my education.
I hear that. All right. What got you into music, or who got you into music, or all of the above?
Well, a bunch of my family plays music. So on my father's side, my grandfather and all of his brothers played music. He has three brothers, and all four of them played and sang. And then on my mom's side, she was the piano player at church. Sometimes she sang at church. Her brother sang at church. So everybody kind of played something.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Did anybody teach you the ways of the rock and roll, or did you take lessons?
No one specifically taught me the ways of the rock and roll. My grandfather taught me how to play. Sorry. My grandfather taught me how to play G, D, and C.
That's all you need.
That was, yeah. So that got me through Country Roads by John Denver.
Yes.
Pretty much. For the most part, I think there's an E minor in there. But that, and primarily after that, was just tab stuff like Guitar World.
Oh, yeah.
And then going to the mall and buying, they used to, I think the first big thick book I bought at Disc Jockey was like the 90s greatest 40 top pop hits or something.
Book.
So I had that and would just go through that and learn that way.
Oh, yeah. I'd say most people.
I think I was 12 then.
See, people don't know the struggle now. They get on the internet, learn any damn song you want.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, we had to get it. Sometimes the tab was wrong.
Yeah. And then couldn't tell anybody. It was a book.
Couldn't bitch about nothing.
No.
We're going to write a letter. Oh, man. All right. Who was your first, like, favorite artist or musician or band you was into?
First?
That kind of inspired you to play? Or did you just play because your family?
Well, I played in church originally. So, at that point, it just would have been playing music at church. But outside, you know, as far as learning how to play guitar and stuff like that, that's a good question. I don't see.
Gotcha.
I really, when I was young, I liked country music.
Yeah.
And then I went where I liked rap and hip hop, but more like Fresh Prince, that kind of stuff around that era.
Absolutely,
parents
yeah.
just don't understand stuff like that. And then I think the first rock album that I really liked outside of that was probably Counting Crows August and everything after.
Okay.
I think that came out in 94.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about your first band. Not necessarily played out, just the first group of guys you got together and just kind of jammed with, practiced or whatever.
My first band was called Maria's Injection.
Tell me where that name came from.
I don't know where the name, I think we just thought it sounded metal or something. I'm not sure.
I like it.
Maria's Injection was myself and, wow, I'm going to be bad at this. Myself, Marty Clark playing drums, Ryan Doty playing bass.
Hell yeah.
And then, I feel really, oh, Jason Key, I believe, also played guitar in that band.
So you and Doty go back.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, I played music. I think Doty and I were, I guess I met Doty in sixth grade.
Oh,
and at that time,
like
we were both in band and choir, so.
Cool. Okay, well, let's see. Tell me about the first band. It could be that band that actually, like, played shows and had, like, I guess original songs or just played covers or whatever.
We had original songs in Maria's Injection. We never played it because we were too young to play most places. We played a couple house parties and stuff like that. After that, I was in a band called Riddlin'.
And that was me,
Marty Clark, and Timmy Phelps.
Okay.
For Major Reason. He played bass in Riddlin'. Same thing. We played just at people's garages and stuff
That's
like
cool.
that. Riddlin' was a lot heavier, just drop D, screaming.
Yeah.
Let's see. After that, I think the first time I played somewhere, I played in a band very briefly called Wish. And Wish
did you cover the Nine Inch Nails song Wish? Please tell me you did.
No, we didn't. And then that would have been myself, Josh Hampton played drums, Sean Coots played guitar. Shoot, I'm having a hard time remembering who was even in Wish. I'd have to see a picture. I'm sure it was Doty or Timmy playing bass. I've played with the same group of people for the most part forever.
Hell yeah. That's how it goes, though, really.
But we played, I forget what it was originally, but it turned into Joshua's Place on Old Louisville Road. We played there one time.
Oh, I remember that place. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called before, but...
It was like some bar, and then... I remember there was a news story. And
I may be getting this completely wrong, but I think the lady that owned it, her son was killed by a drunk driver or something.
That's it.
And then it became more of like a religious kind of thing. No alcohol and stuff like that. But
we played there.
I remember because we had a poster. At the time, Marilyn Manson was really big. And I don't even think we played any Manson, but it kind of had that lightning bolt symbol of his on it. And they wouldn't let us put it up. Because it looked too much like
that.
So, yeah.
That's cool. So, y'all had like not a backdrop, but y'all had like some...
Just some posters. I think we got them printed at Kinko's at the time. You could get the big, whatever it is, 3 by 4 foot posters for 15, 20 bucks, you know.
Hell yeah.
I still got the poster.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. I keep all my stuff, too. I just don't know where it is.
Do you want me to keep going through?
Yes. Yeah, let's do all the bands. Sorry.
Okay. I played bass for a while in a band that eventually became the Sad Bastard Brothers.
I like that.
And that was, again, most of the same people that would have been that I mentioned before anyway. Brad Addis played drums. His cousin, we called him Little John Burke, played bass. Sean Coots sang and played lead guitar, and I played bass. No, I lied. I just said two bass players, didn't I?
Yeah, some bands do.
When Lil Jon wasn't playing, I played bass, put it that way. And I want to say Andrew Glarn, or Andy, played keys on that as well.
Cool. Keep going.
I guess actually that would have been after Cheap Fireworks. Cheap Fireworks is the first band that I played with for a long time and played out at bars and stuff like that.
That's the first band I've seen you play in.
Yeah, that would have been, me singing and playing guitar. Cole Porter playing guitar.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Timmy Phelps playing bass. Brad Annis playing drums. And then Andy came in and played keys probably halfway through the life of Cheap Fireworks. No, actually, he may have been there at the very beginning. I'm not sure. And that lasted for a pretty good while.
You guys were on BKO.
Were we?
I think you were around that time.
I don't know.
Remember there was like a... It didn't last very long because that was kind of when the scene was struggling to actually get any kind of notice. But
right.
They would do like a... I can't remember the lady's name, but she's not on there anymore. But she would like, for 15 minutes on the weekends, I think, she would show a band, maybe them playing a song or this interviewing someone. I'm pretty sure it was you. It may not have been you. Maybe. I didn't know you then, but I knew the Chief Fireworks. I remember it was that band.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, Doty played with Chief Fireworks for a little while as well, towards the end of Chief Fireworks. After Chief Fireworks... I did one solo thing that no one has. I'm not even sure I could find, called A Total Waste of Time. And I sold them like down at the local gas station.
Hell yeah.
And then,
did you sell any?
I sold like two, something like
that. Accomplishment, man.
Sure. And, then after that, I made what is technically the first Double Zero the Rabbit album. Made it. And all by myself for the most part. Doty did help me write some of the songs and stuff. And didn't really play out at all with it too much. Towards the end of the first one, before I made the second one. Well, the first one was called Boom Ching. That's the only one that the amplifier ever reviewed.
Okay.
Mine was that one. But I wasn't even playing out at the time. And then, let's see. The second one, Gore to Bees, that's when we started playing out a bunch. So... well, actually, the first show was Ken Emery on drums, Adam Williams playing guitar and trumpet, Doty playing bass and trombone, Cole Porter playing guitar, Andy playing keys, me singing, and
Hell
playing
yeah.
bass whenever Doty has to play horn for the most part.
So Cole only had to play guitar. He didn't have to play multiple instruments. Why'd he get away with that?
He's the best guitar player at the time.
I know, he's awesome.
I say at the time, like he's probably not now. I'm sure he is now.
Best in the world.
The only thing that really changed with Double Zero after that was the drummer changed after one or two shows and turned into James Thompson.
Oh, so he morphed into James Thompson?
Yep.
So what was James Thompson's name before he was James Thompson?
Ken Emery.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That James Thompson dude. I saw him today.
He's a good man.
It's a good dude. It's good to see him. What was your favorite show you ever played all the time? I know that's a hard one, but what is like most memorable?
I know mine, actually. Okay. It was when we did a release at Tidballs for the third, we did a release at Tidballs for the third Double Zero album. It was called Bad Machine. And, Robin.
I was at that show. Pretty sure, yeah.
Kelly's wife, Robin, at the time was in a belly dancing troupe.
That's right.
And at the time, we had a pretty good crowd coming and stuff, so we actually staged everything out. So in the middle of a certain song, there'd be a drum solo, and then you wouldn't be thinking it would happen, but then a belly dancing troupe would come on stage and all this stuff. The record releases were always by far the funnest time. Because at that time, and we also, I seem to remember it was... probably after Easter or before Easter, but I bought, I don't know how many sets of bunny ears from the Dollar Tree. So everybody in the whole, until I ran out, but I bought like 50, 60 pairs, had on bunny ears, and a couple people had on full-blown mascot rabbit.
Nice.
Mask and stuff like that.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
That was probably, that one definitely sticks out the most in my head. The second one that sticks out was, I guess it was around the same time, but we did a show at State Street Pub, which they just tore down or something else.
They're not sad.
I don't know how to word this, but they're stress balls.
That's what I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. That look like breasts.
Yes.
We'll call them breast balls. And they had them at Fleeland. And we bought a ton of those things and just handed them out. Of course, halfway through, the more people are drinking their adult beverages and what have you, people start throwing them around.
Yep.
And they're filled with like some nasty liquid. And quite a few of them hit the ceiling fans and were busted and stuff. So that was pretty ridiculous. You were there?
I caught one. I kept it for a long time.
Oh, okay, right on. So that one was pretty ridiculous. I remember that.
I'm just amazed. Like, where in the hell did he get this at?
Fleeland.
Who makes this thing? Okay. What is your, what's the favorite, sorry. What is your favorite place you've ever played?
Favorite place to play?
That you've ever played.
Oh, Tidballs.
Or to play, I guess.
Yeah, Tidballs.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure.
It's your least favorite place to play.
My least favorite place. Oh, I know what it is. Played. It's the Rudyard Kipling in Louisville.
I've heard nothing but terrible things from there.
I've never had a good experience there.
Okay. Least favorite place to play. How about the worst show you ever played? It was just so bad, you were just like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. That would be, I know the worst show I've ever, well, no, I take it, it's a toss up, and I've left out a band earlier as well. Let me interject real fast and saying I played in a band called Monty Falcon.
Oh yeah.
For a little while. It was basically Double Zero with Shelby Smith playing guitar.
Oh, that's right.
One of those was the worst show I ever played. And the other one probably tops. That was actually a school show. And we played with Billy Swayze, actually. And I'm forgetting the name of the joint at the time. Red Roof something, maybe. It's in Nashville.
Springwater?
No, it's not the Springwater. I played at the Springwater. I'm aware of the Springwater show. It was worse than that show.
I don't remember where all we
played. I'm not sure, but it was a bad show.
Yeah.
I think we got three songs into it and decided this is not working out and call it a day.
Well, at least tried.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What I know it's a broad question. What do you write about?
Personal stuff. Like, I mean, what mood I'm in, what's on my mind.
Right.
I guess it's weird. I was talking to somebody else about it, but it used to be that if you're real sad, you make a good song.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I always felt. Or if you were trying to get with a girl, or if you had a girlfriend, you were writing about being in love, and that's new, and that's, you know, you want to get that out of you. You want to express that. I typically, and knock on wood, thankfully, not so sad much anymore. And I do love my wife so much. But, like, she's heard me play all the songs I've written about her and stuff before. So now anymore, it's if I'm writing about something, it's just, I hesitate to say random, but it's not like it's not a life changing event. It's I don't actually say exactly what I'm singing about either, because I don't know. It just feels weird to me.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And I've said it before to other people, but I envy people like McMillan.
Yes.
Like, 'cause McMillan will just, you know, break it literally down.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I was on this road, we went and got this to eat, and he'll just literally say that. I don't want you to know.
Right.
I just needed to get it out of me.
Yep.
So, half the time, it's just whatever you think it's about, I think.
McMillan was the first guy that ever inspired me to actually sing, because he was so good at it. Just so, I don't know how to explain it, just such a pure soul and just leaving it all out there, just like, man, that looks fun.
Right.
It looks awesome. Love you, McMillan. I hope you hear this.
Michael.
Okay. I guess this will go along with songwriting, but what inspires you? Is this picking up the guitar to jam out, or what gets you going? What gets them juices going, man?
What gets the juices going? Not picking up the guitar. I don't dislike playing guitar, but I never pick one up. I've got about 16 at home. I do. And they're just decoration. Like, I'll, for work, you know, I'll have to pick one up and play one. And I like playing music in a live setting, but if it's just me sitting at the house, I really don't want to play guitar.
Yeah.
I play drums a lot at home. I'm not very good at it, but I do. Even so much if I make a song, but it's always been that way since Double Zero. I don't start with guitar. I start with drums and bass and then build around that.
That's cool.
But I don't know. It's probably just hearing something that I wish I'd done.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, I hear something, I'm like, I want to make something like that.
Yeah.
And that's, to be honest, what every band, I kind of think everybody does, but for me, for sure, every band I've ever been in or every song that I've ever written was, I really like this thing I just heard. And in my heart, I want to completely copy that.
Right.
But I can't.
No.
So it becomes something new. So it's completely inspiration trying to be someone else.
Yes.
And then I can't. But I, here I am in between it, and that's what I am now. That's this song or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that. I do that too. So I feel like lots of people probably do that.
Right.
That's awesome. Here's something. Okay. That's what something I always wonder. Like, tell me about some of the jobs you've had. Like your first like bullshit job to like up to like current, I guess. Something like.
Just where I've worked?
Yeah.
Oh.
That are in, I don't know. Not doesn't have to be interesting. Just, you know, just.
I've worked about 40 places in my life.
Hell yeah.
It's not a good thing.
No.
My first job, I don't know if I was 14 or 15. I was minimum age to get a job. I worked for a little while at a little while. Well, my first job was helping my dad build houses in the summer.
Hell yeah.
And I say helping build. I was the grind. I was handing up plywood. Yeah,
hold this hammer.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff. And then, first real world job would have been probably working at McDonald's, and then I've worked at Hardee's, several pizza places and stuff. That was all in Morgantown at the time. And then I worked at, when I graduated high school, I worked at H.H. Gregg for a few years. Worked in the warehouse there. Then I went to sales there. And then I worked at Sears. And then I worked, man, I just did all kinds of crazy stuff. I worked at Outback Steakhouse. I worked at Ryan's Buffet.
I've never met anybody who's worked at Ryan's.
Really?
Never.
I know a few people that have worked at. Let's see. Where else have I? I've had far too many jobs. I worked as a vacuum cleaner salesman.
Wow. My dad did that for like a week.
I can't remember the name of the place, and it might even still be there, but it's by Cambridge Market over here on Fairview. I can't even remember what it was. Maybe it was. I don't know. But yeah, I worked there. I worked for the state, well, I guess technically the federal government for a while. I trained attorneys on software. I was on like a federal grant for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I work at Yellowberry currently. I don't know, all kinds of
stuff. Wide array.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
I'll take it.
All right. I don't know if a lot of people know, but you do a lot of recording, video editing.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get into all that? What made you like, I want to do that?
The recording stuff started from being basically friends with Andy or Andrew Glarn. He had a computer, and this is like way back when. And we had Fruity Loops on it.
Oh yeah, I remember Fruity Loops.
So the first stuff we made was all on Fruity Loops, and I liked it so much that actually when he wasn't home, I could still go over to his house, and he lived up. He had one room upstairs in the house, and I would go upstairs and just mess with Fruity Loops, and because it's just loops and stuff. But I would put acoustic guitar over it and stuff like that. Cool. So that's how I started recording music. And then later on, kind of basically found out I don't like making music with other people. I like making music, but I don't like writing music with other people. So as more and more time went on, and I had my own computer, and I got where I could play everything just good enough or steal a loop from something.
Right.
And I was like, I'm just going to make these songs myself. And it's basically necessity became needing to learn how to do all the music side of stuff. Cause that's actually how every 00 album it's just me.
Awesome.
Doty is playing on it. Some, Doty by far had the most input on all that stuff. Usually Doty would come down and we would just knock 3 or 4 songs out in a day.
Hell yeah.
But it would just be me and him. Most of it was drum loops and stuff. We never recorded an album as a band. It was always just, here's this is your part kind of stuff for the most part. Of course, that all changed and adapted as we played it live as a band.
Right.
And everybody put their own touch to it and stuff, but that's kind of how that started. The video stuff was kind of the same way. Hey, I made an album. I need a video. How do you do that? Just got on the internet and got a program and tried it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, man. Let's see. All right. Tell me about when you did the Lee Harvey album. I love that album. Didn't you you play it on it, didn't you? Didn't you play
it?
About everything or majority of the
everything that was real. Of course, Mark's playing guitar.
Yeah. It's his songs, but you did a lot of the recording and playing on it.
Yep, and actually I played in Mark's band for a while. I may have said that earlier, I'm not sure. But That was recorded, I don't even know what year that was. That was, I lived in an apartment with my friend Mitchell. And just on computer, just overlaying stuff onto there. I think at the time, I don't even know if I owned a good microphone. I don't even remember. I think it wound up sounding okay.
It did sound good.
But my only idea outside of the normal for that was for it not to sound exactly like a country album, to be a little bit off. Not a lot off, but a little bit off. So that part was fun, and Mark's down for whatever. So.
Yeah. No, he's great. That era, I like that era because that's when we were doing a lot of the fibromyalgia benefits. Mm-hmm. So it was like Lee Harvey, Hungry Ears, Double Zero, Lost River Cave. It's
right.
Like, good God.
Right.
Killer lineup.
It was good. It was fun.
Tell me about Bucky Dent. And I want to hear fucking Golden Suitcases live one of these days.
Bucky Dent is what my mom and my dad called me Buck. My mom called me Bucky Dent. That's my name.
Oh, wow.
My nickname. So, that's why it's called that. All it was basically an excuse. If I made something that had too many electronic elements that wouldn't sound right if we tried to play it as a band, I just called it Bucky Dent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm stealing from your podcast. I listen to all of them.
Oh.
What would you... advice for a younger Russell Brooks?
Leave the house. Leave the house. Like, leave the house when you're... As soon... Yeah, I don't wish I'd done things differently because I like where I'm at now, but I remember even before Cheap Fireworks started playing out, Heather and Timmy Phelps saying... You're going to have to leave this house. You can't just, because at the time when I lived with Timmy, I wound up writing about 400 or 500 songs.
Damn.
I've still got them recorded.
Whoa.
They're not great, but they're recorded songs. And he was like, it doesn't matter. You have to play them in front of people. I'm like, I don't want to. And even right. Heather, she's like, you got to go play. And I'm like, okay. But see, for some reason, I was just like, I don't know what I was scared of, but I was like, no. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I really didn't start getting out until a little bit late, I think. I think I'd had advice from me. I'm just like, just go out there and do it.
I mean, that's cool.
Everybody feels, I assume, like a little bit of hesitation or nerves about playing out those first few times or maybe every time you play. But just get off your ass and go play.
Yeah.
This is what I really should have done. I should have. Seems like I didn't really kick into trying to make music my life until I was 30. Okay. And that was a bad idea.
I don't know. Maybe not, man.
For me, like... it was.
Okay.
for me, it was because outside of music, my life had changed so much.
Okay.
With this free time and everything like that. But if I would have tried music as hard as I did when I was 30, when I was 20... Man, I could have just lived, eat, sleep, breathe right. music for so long and probably did way better with it because I would have actually had the energy and the time to put into it.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Get that. Well, tell me about how long have you known Heather? How long have y'all dated?
And 1942, y'all are... I think.
1942?
No, okay. 1942. Heather, my wife, is one of my good buddy's sisters. I actually don't know when. I guess I met her. Either my sophomore or junior year of high school, although I didn't really talk to her at the time. She was just my buddy's little brother. Sorry, my buddy's little sister. Heather and I have been together going on 15 years.
Wow.
Been married. I'd be bad if I got this wrong, wouldn't it? Two. Been married 2 years.
Just don't let her listen to it.
Right, yeah. Been married 2 years. Been together about 15, though.
What do you think about marriage?
It's just the same. Yeah. I just got paperwork. Yeah.
Awesome.
I got no complaints.
That's a pretty amazing, man. I don't
hey,
know
you
anybody.
Get cheaper insurance.
That's true.
It's nice.
I guess that's what we need to do is get married. Me and you, of course. That's what I'm talking
Cheer
about.
That, Nicole. You guys are going to get that cheap insurance.
Get on that insurance, girl. Holler at you. Get that good job. Get that insurance. Tell me about what we're doing here. Tell me about the Sound Atlas.
The Sound Atlas is my attempt to... Well, number one, kind of do what I always liked hearing when I was growing up, where my dad's friends would all come over to, there was one primary example. My dad had a store. It's kind of like a pawn shop, but kind of half and half. And I would watch it during the day. But his friends would still come over and treat that like as their breakfast meeting and hanging out spot or whatever.
Hell yeah.
And even if he wasn't there, they'd just come and talk. And, of course, they'd be telling stories about stuff I'd never heard about and stuff. I just enjoy the listening to people. I don't even care if the story's good. Just tell stories that really enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
And they would do that, and it's kind of my attempt at doing that because I was thinking pretty much every day after they had left, man, I wish I'd recorded that. Or also, I don't know how long they'll remember that or how long I'll remember what I'm telling you.
Right.
Specifically, not as far as details.
Curious. All right. This is my big question. Big question. Everyone wants to know about the group that had all the hype. It's a project you were involved in. What happened to Big Dick Beaver?
Nothing. No, we're still making music.
Okay.
I left that out of my bands too. Now I feel bad. Kenny and I, our DJ, Doty, has not been in the past few. He's had his hands full. He just recently had a child. We don't play shows, but we actually just put a video out last week.
Well, I gotta see that.
And something. Awesome. We've turned from rap into making fun of itself country at the moment, so
I like
a little
that.
Different.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
still talk to Kenny pretty much every week.
Hell yeah. That is awesome. That's about really all I got. Where you at on the interwebs?
I'm all over the place, man. I'm just, sometimes I'm on Amazon, sometimes it's eBay.
Yes.
TheSoundAtlas.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I have no more questions for you, Russell, because I know a lot about you already. I was trying to think about this if I didn't know you, but I already know you pretty well. I love you. One of my best good friends.
You're one of my best good friends, Jonathan Darrell. And thank you for being the first person interviewed on Sound Atlas.
Shit,
well.
Thanks for having me. Never been interviewed before. Huh? Outside of like Tommy Star Radio Station or whatever, but not like an in-depth thing. That was cool. I enjoyed it.
You're the host here, so.
Yeah.
Can you tell me?
Sign off a little wackety-schmackety-doo, the Sound Atlas.